Hiya pal, and welcome back to the Chatty Freelancer podcast, the home of creative honesty. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Jade Painter, a freelance motion designer who has done something that I think takes a serious amount of courage. She packed up her life in New Zealand and moved across the globe to Scotland. We've kind of came full circle today because Jade and I connected because she actually found me through this podcast. She dropped me a message one day and we've been pals ever since. In this episode, we're mainly talking about what it's actually like to move to the other side of the world as a freelancer, the process, the practical challenges, the highs, the lows, finding your community, and what she'd say to anyone thinking about making a similar move. So, without further ado, let's go meet Jade for a chat. Jade, thank you so much for coming to the podcast and chatting with me today. To break the ice a little bit and to get into the New Zealand vibe, you've been in Scotland for a couple of years now?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years now.
Yeah.
What has been the kind of best place that you've visited that kind of maybe rivals New Zealand? Because I know New Zealand's like famous for its like amazing landscapes and its picturesque like scenery. But is there anywhere you've visited here where you've gone, ooh, maybe it has a bit of competition?
I think this is a great question. And I also think I'm not going to say Scotland's like beautiful nature scenery because I feel like that's very similar to New Zealand.
Mm.
But it's actually all the like castles and like the old architecture in Glasgow and Edinburgh. And like going into those like little towns that are just like have been there for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Like the oldest building in New Zealand will be like built in the 1800s, but like
here it's like BC.
Yeah. So when I first got here, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's a castle. And it would be like a couple of rocks left over. And I was like, this is incredible. And everyone's like, okay, there's like better castles. And like that, not Dumfries. Where the university is. St Andrews.
Yes.
There's like this old castle that's really just like a facade left, and I think it was like one of the first ones I went to see, and my mind was just like blown.
Look at this rubble. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, so I think the like old history and just how much you can like trace it back here is just like so cool, and that's like really exciting.
Yeah, I mean I'm very biased, so I've never been to New Zealand, so I don't know, like, but everything I know about New Zealand, as I know it's like just looks absolutely gorgeous. So like, what was it like growing up there, like for you?
I love growing up in New Zealand. I think it's a very special place to have like a childhood because especially in the North Island where it's like a bit warmer, you just spend so much time outside.
Yay.
And just like your summer holidays are just every day at the beach.
Yeah,
like going for a swim, like you learn to swim before you can talk.
Yeah.
Just like remember like playing in the sand for like the entire day. So I think that was like really amazing.
Like water babies.
Yeah.
I get that because like I grew up, like I moved to Cyprus when I was 5. So like obviously I could walk and talk by the time I was 5. But like even at that point, like when I moved to Cyprus, it was totally different way of life. Like because you're by the coast, like the sea is like everything.
Yeah.
Like you what do you want to do today? Oh, we'll just go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you want to do today? Oh, we'll go bodyboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loved bodyboarding. Like, that was so much fun. And then if you're not in the sea, then oh, we'll go to the pool. It's like, oh, okay. So it's like totally
100%
different way of life.
Yeah, and I think you kind of grow up with this, like, it's not even a force, but like this like natural appreciation of like nature in a way, and like it's something like I've noticed like coming here that like everyone from home, even though they're not like consider themselves to be a big nature person.
Yeah.
Because I also don't consider myself to be a massive like outdoorsy person, but coming here I was like, oh, like I guess
I am.
My definition is different to like people's definition here. Not only do you spend so much time in the like sea and at the beach, but also I grew up in this part of Auckland called West Auckland in Huia, and that's like got a lot of like native bush that's been there for like a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So like
we're building dens and like sharpens. Like I used to sharpen this is what I used to do. I would go in the bushes and I would get sticks and I would sharpen my sticks, and me and my sisters would sword fight with them.
I didn't quite do sword fights. but I would build like huts with my friends.
Yeah, like dens, little wee houses. And that would be like your little kind of hideaway, like your parents wouldn't find you. And we're like, oh, where are they? They built a bloody den there away.
Yeah, and also like climbing like fruit trees and like,
oh my god,
would make like plum jam with my friends, and that was just like kind of what we did, and so it was like a great like place to grow up.
That sounds lovely. That sounds like growing up outdoors is so special.
Yeah,
and it's when you move somewhere like, so for me personally, I didn't grow up in New Zealand, but kind of grew up with that outdoors life of like being in the bushes in the sea and like just like constantly outdoors. And then when I moved back here in 2008, I think I was maybe 10 or 11, the shock of like, oh, people don't really do that here. Like, yeah, it can't be as feral. Yeah. It was just a bit, yeah, it was just really, really different.
I mean, that you said the word feral, like, it's quite common in New Zealand to, if you go to the supermarket and people aren't wearing shoes, because they've just, like, they're either on the way to the beach or they're coming back from the beach.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, just walking around the supermarket, just in their, like, stubbies, like their shorts and, like, a t-shirt.
What stubbies?
Like, shorts.
Ah, okay. Is that, like a...
It's probably more of an Australian term, but, I feel like we've got a lot of shared terminology.
I can see that. Why do we have to wear shoes? I mean, obviously we do, but like, if you don't have to, it's fine. Yeah.
There's this ad that's like a classic in like New Zealand culture, and I can't remember, I think it's an ice cream ad, but it's this guy, he's at the beach and he's in his like Speedos, and he is walking from the beach to like his car, and it's just like togs, undies. And it's once he's like too far from the beach, it's now like, oh, this isn't okay. it's like, yeah, peak New Zealand culture.
Because would you say like the sense of humor is quite similar from like here in New Zealand?
I think here people are a bit more funnier. I also think people are a bit nicer here. I think Glaswegians especially are like some of the friendliest people in the world I have ever met.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good to hear.
Yeah, I'm just going to be stroking.
Yeah, no, okay.
Not your ego, but your national pride.
Yeah, I mean, if you say so. Yeah. No, because I've heard that we do, like, have a similar sense of humour in Australia as well. It's quite similar. Yeah. Big, kind of sarcastic, kind of dark.
Self-deprecating. Yeah. Don't take life too seriously.
Yeah.
Up for a natter about anything.
So has that helped with like coming here as well? Like with like even just communicating with people?
I think so. And so when I originally wanted to move over to the UK, I like wanted to do it for like my career and everything.
Yeah.
And I was very set on London. I was like, that is where that is the place to be.
Yeah.
And my partner was like, hey, well, I'm from Scotland. Like, we can go stay with my mum for a bit while we get ourselves set up. Mm-hmm. And then we can go down to London. And I was like, cool, great. That's perfect. And got here. And I think for the first, like, 6 months, I was just like, okay, how are we getting to London? How am I getting this job? And then, like, it was just, like, tunnel vision. Like, I want to get to London. That's where my friends are. That's where, apparently, like, all the good work is. And I'd heard it was very hard to get, like, work down there. Mm-hmm. And just, like, every application I sent out, everything was just, like, a ghost, like, tumbleweed. Like, no response.
Yep.
And then I was having, like, the opposite in Scotland, because we were still here, and I was like sending things out, and people would reply to my emails and be like, oh, sorry, we don't have an opportunity for you, but like, here's a bunch of resources. And like, everyone was just like really nice. And like, oh, welcome to Scotland, we hope you like enjoy it. And I was like, oh, this is like people are nice.
Yeah.
And then I think it started going to a lot more like networking things, and I was like, wow, like everyone is so nice and like open for a chat. Whereas like I would go down to London mm-hmm. and try and like break into things, and it was just like so, like I guess kind of like this disconnect and like not real. Maybe it was like the spaces, but it just wasn't like the same as what.
Too big.
Too big. Yeah. Wasn't the same as what I was getting in Scotland. Yeah. And then I think it must have been about 6 months in. I was like, why am I so set on
leaving
London? Like, Scotland's amazing. Like, yeah. I had no idea. And so.
So go back. Like, why did you initially? Why did you want to move to the UK? Like you were saying, it was about work and things. So like, obviously, you're a motion graphic designer. Yeah. And just for context, when I'm listening, like we've known each other for a good couple of years now.
Yeah.
Through the community stuff, networking and things. So I know a lot about like, yeah, like you know how, what work you do and stuff like that. So like, why did you decide to come here in the first place?
I think I'd always wanted to come to the UK, and I think just when you grow up in a little country like New Zealand that is so far away from like the rest of the world, you're always kind of like, what if, what else is out there? And it's kind of like you're seeing things online, and you just like, I just really wanted to go experience like living in another country, but I was also that was like the main thing. And then as like I worked more and more in my career, I kind of felt like I was like getting to this point where like I was booked and busy, and I was doing a lot of work, but I just wasn't like feeling like fulfilled, and I kind of didn't feel like challenged as well. And I was like, moving overseas sounds like
the biggest challenge.
I've done it here, I'll be fine just moving overseas. So I really wanted to like try and like, I guess, challenge myself and hopefully like grow, but also like do like more work.
Because that's like, it's not a small move. Like it's literally the other side of the planet.
Now I know.
So like, what did you have to do to get here? So like, what, like anyone listen to this who maybe doesn't really know, like what are the actual logistics of making a move like that and coming to the UK, or to Scotland, like logistically, like what does that look like?
I think in terms of like countries like New Zealand, Australia and Canada, so like the Commonwealth countries have like an easier like visa exchange.
I didn't know that.
So you can, New Zealanders and Australians can come over here for 2 years. And it's vice versa as well. And then you can also pay an extra year for like a 3-year visa. So it's like a working holiday kind of visa. So there's getting that visa sorted. And then, but it's quite expensive. So it was like saving up for that for a while. And then it's like booking the flights and figuring out where you're going. And I think I spent a lot of time online like trying to find the creative communities before I came over, and the first one I found was Clanimation, which
Gordon
and Abby run, and I remember sending them messages on like Slack and being like, hey, like I'm coming over, and like they just sent me all this information about like getting set up as a freelancer here. So I think,
oh my god, amazing.
So I think like doing your research as much as you can before you go, obviously when you get there like things will be different. But just trying to like find some people that, or like communities or groups to like reach out to.
That's a really good point, because like imagine like you did make the move and you set up everything, and then you're like, oh god, the creative industry here and the community here is shit. What am I gonna do? So that's such a good way to do it. So like when you moved here, right? So you got here and then you've went and you found your community. How did you do that? Because like, for example, you listen to my podcast, and that's how we met. Because like, you reached out to me, and I was like, oh my god, this is lovely. It was like, I was like, Jesus. And then we met, and then we've had a coffee, and then we've had a friendship since then. So like, how did you find that community, and how, because you're really integrated into it now, and like I feel like I see you all the time at stuff, like we're always doing stuff together in the communities, but how did you find it? Because that must be really hard as someone moving here that doesn't have that, and just like, it's almost like hitting a restart button, because I imagine you had a community in New Zealand. Mm. And then it's like, okay, now I need to find new people and also break into that
mm-hmm.
part of the creative industry, because I feel like even though Scotland's not, it's small in compared to other places, so I feel like the community here is quite, like, you always find someone who knows someone already.
Yeah.
So yeah, how did you find that, like, integrating yourself into?
I think Scotland is one of the best creative communities that I've come across, but then I've only lived in New Zealand, so like
we just stopped this side. We'll take it.
But I think it kind of like leans into just like how friendly and open everyone is here.
Yeah.
And there's so many people running so many different incredible events. And you mentioned like my creative community back in New Zealand. I did have one, but I don't think it was like as wide as the one that's here. Like I think in New Zealand, I was like thinking about this the other day, that it's such a beautiful country that I think it kind of stops. Like, after work, you go to the beach.
Yes.
I never would go to, like, networking events and things.
Okay,
got
it.
Like,
yeah,
I don't really need to do that, but I think...
it's a bit different here.
Yeah, and I think I was, like, really craving, like, finding more of a creative community. Like, back home, I had, like, my friends that, you know, I'd known since high school or university, and we had all like kind of gone into like slightly creative fields, but I wasn't really connected with that many people outside of my like work. And I think it's been so amazing like here that there's so many, there's a community for every single niche
and they
all cross over. So what I did when I first got here was I spent so much time on Instagram. Like I was living off Instagram, following people, like seeing what events they were going to, and then looking up those events and then going along myself, which when I was first going to them, I was like quite like nervous because you don't know anyone. But
you're in a whole new place as well.
Yeah.
Like doing that, even just like where you live, going to something by yourself is big. Never mind doing it in a country that you've just moved to.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and then if everyone already kind of knows everyone a little bit as well, it's kind of like, oh God, like how do I get in here or whatever. But I think you're right. I think here is like everyone is so friendly, so it's a bit more approachable and a bit easier to like find. Like, have you found other folks from New Zealand as well? Like, have you met other people here that have moved from New Zealand to here?
Not in the creative community, but I have met like other Australians, so that's basically the same.
No, these are unique.
But like, I mean, kind of like they're going through the same journey. So I feel like we always connect as well on that. But yeah, less Kiwis. I think a lot of Kiwis like end up going to London. So,
which is just, London's rubbish.
Yeah.
London's rubbish. I mean, I've never lived there, and I will never, ever live there. But I just can't imagine, like, I don't know, it just feels a bit...
See, I think if I'd gone, like, I moved over when I was 28, and I think if I'd moved to London when I was maybe, like, 22, 23, the hustle and bustle, I would have been, like, loving it. But I think just being, like, a little bit older, I was like, I actually just want a slightly slower pace of life. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to be on a tube for like
stinky,
3 hours a day.
It's good for a visit, at least. Like, 3 nights in London, that's as much as I can do, then I'm like, I need to get back home.
I think another great thing about Scotland is how close Glasgow and Edinburgh are together, and I know people here will be like, what do you mean, it's so far away, I never go to that. But in New Zealand, we've got, like, Auckland, which is, like, the Glasgow.
Yeah.
And then we've got Wellington, which I'd say is, like, the Edinburgh.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, Wellington's got the Parliament. Edinburgh's got the Parliament. It's a lot smaller, but, like, really compact. And I think Edinburgh's a bit like that, too. Mm. And then Glasgow's, like, this bigger, sprawling city, but more, like, commerce. So I think Auckland's a bit like that. I think it's amazing that these two cities are so close to each other in Scotland, because in New Zealand, Auckland and Wellington are the same distance as Glasgow and London.
Oh.
So, like, there's no crossover between them.
Yeah,
between
we're
the, like,
lucky.
Creative communities.
Yeah.
So here I feel like there can be that crossover, and you'll find folks that in Edinburgh come mm-hmm. to the Glasgow events, and then people in Glasgow go to the Edinburgh events. Mm-hmm. So even though, like, the population is the same here as in New Zealand, I think there's just a lot more, like, melded communities, which is just, like,
it's good.
I love it so much.
I know. We could literally talk to Cows Home about how much we love the community here. But it is genuinely good. Like, and it's, I hope anyone listening to this who is maybe was in your position when you reached out to me, of just, like, you know, this is reassuring to hear that it's a nice, welcoming community. It's, you can actually just go out and make a friend and, like, and that'll be you, like, you'll be fine. So talking about, like, the freelance side of things, like, how have you found finding work here? Like, what have you noticed any, like, major differences between the creative industries here in New Zealand? Like, what's been kind of, like, the hardest adjustment for you in that way?
I think when you move countries, and I hadn't really considered this, you are kind of starting back from ground zero again. And I was 28 when I moved over, and I had, like, my contacts in New Zealand that if I was quiet on work, I'd send out a bunch of emails and I'd usually get work coming in. But, like, being here, it was, like, quite hard to, like, I guess prove to people that I can do the work. And I think they look at your portfolio and work and it's a bunch of brands they've never heard of or seen before. So they're kind of like, is this real? And it's like trying to, like, prove that, like, you can do the work. And I think it's not like people are obviously, when they've got freelancers reaching out to them, they're going to go for the person that they know. And the creative industry is so, like, built on, like, relationships.
Yes.
So it's just, like, trying to, like, build up those relationships. And which is, like, going to, like, networking events. One thing that I hadn't been doing in New Zealand that I got on the train of here is, like, being on LinkedIn all the time, like, posting and I guess kind of operating more as, like, a business and, like, showing that to the world. Whereas in New Zealand, I was very much, I had my network, I didn't need to, like, put myself out there. But I think coming here was, like, a great experience of, like, learning how to do all that and then also realizing that everyone's doing it. And I think personally, and I think a lot of people in New Zealand feel this way, that it's a bit of this, like, tool poppy syndrome, that you don't want to be, like, showing off your work, because people be like, oh, they're a bit, you know,
like, proud of themselves.
Which is, I think, not so a good thing.
It's shit.
But I think here, because it's, you're also so close, like, the rest of Europe, and then, like, London as well, and, like, Manchester, that there's just so many people that are, you have to be, like, making noise. You have to be, like, beating your own drum? Tooting your own trumpet.
And beating the drum. Why not? We've got a whole band.
You've got to do both. And that's, like, was a great, like, I mean, I'm still learning, but, like, I think I've learned so much from yourself and other people in the community of, like, just make things, just put it out there, and, like, making yourself visible, sharing your work, even if you shared it last year, like, reshare it again, but, doing it slightly differently. And these are all things I learned because I moved over here and met so many people
who are doing these similar things. Like, that, and, like, it's, like, because that's all really beautiful and, like, positive and stuff, but, like, has there been any moments where you've felt, like, oh, God, this is, like, hard? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, have you had any moments where you think, what have I done?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I think especially when I'll have go through, I went through a couple of periods of, like, just not having any work.
Yeah.
And it would be, like, a month, and then I'd be like, what have I done? And then it's like you kind of question, is it your work? Is it because you moved overseas? Is it the way that the industry is just, like, going through such a huge change at the moment with, AI and, like, not redundancies, recessions everywhere. And redundancies.
All the R's.
It's just, like, not a great time.
Everyone's trying to save their money. Yeah. Not spend it.
But then I think it's, like, during those tough times, then I like tried to remind myself of like, I wanted to move here, and when I talk to pals back home, everyone's struggling back home as well. It's just like a tough time everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard, especially when you move somewhere and you're having a hard time, you're like, oh, this is like my fault for like moving. But like, I think just taking a step back and being like, the whole world is struggling at the moment. It's a tough time.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just Scotland. It's not just the UK. It's not just Europe. It's literally just like, I think we've all been feeling it as well. And like, being, I mean, you're so far away, like, you're like, would you say, would you feel like this is home now? Like,
I think home will always feel like New Zealand, but I think Scotland's become like my second home.
Because like, that's, I personally have never lived anywhere else other than,
As an adult,
as a professional like freelancer, I have never worked and lived anywhere, and I can't imagine what that experience is like. And like, the way you talk about it, it's so wonderful, and it encouraged me. Maybe I'm like, oh, maybe I could like go move to New Zealand. But like, there's that side of it. It's just like, wow, this is so amazing, blah blah blah, as well. But like, there's also those, like,
it's hard,
things that you need to do as well, like the visa stuff as well, like how expensive it is, and then like integrating yourself and finding new people, finding new community. Like, congratulations, because like, because that's like, you've done so much, like, and it's like, I'm so glad you moved here.
Oh, that's so nice.
Like, and it's like, it's a good place to be, I think, as a creative. But you're right, there's still a lot going on at the minute that's not just exclusive to Scotland. Like, is there any like big major differences between the creative industries here in New Zealand, like even just like work wise or is it quite the same?
I think it is quite similar, but then I guess here as well, because you're closer to Europe and other places, like, you actually sometimes end up working with like more like global brands or like other things. Whereas I think New Zealand's very like just mainly like working within New Zealand. And a lot of that is also to do with the time zone. Like, New Zealand's just out there on its own time zone. But I also think the design work that comes out of New Zealand is like world class. Like, it is. We've got this awards called the Best Awards, and I think the way that runs and showcases and champions the work within the country is like very strong, and I think that's like more positive in New Zealand than here. I feel like the awards here is not as like, it's like harder to see the work and like like all the work that amazing people are doing, but I think is the way the creative industries run themselves, I think it's like very similar, and that's been kind of like eye-opening that it is like pretty much the same everywhere.
And it's like, you don't have to like, because we can get into a bit of like, oh god, is it me, am I shit, am I not a good freelancer, am I not doing the work right? But then it's like, oh no, this is worldwide. It's happening everywhere.
I think one thing I did struggle with to begin with is I think New Zealanders are very casual, like very chill people. And moving here, I had to like up my email game.
No emojis.
I had to like over explain things. Like, I think New Zealanders will be like, oh, cool, we just want something that's, you know, a bit like vibey. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that for you. Something like this. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the email. And then here it's like, no, we need to do things more professionally and proper. And that took me a little while to just learn that. But it's a skill I needed to learn.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, so can't be bothered with formalities. I wish it was like that here. Like, to be honest, that people were just a bit more like relaxed. Like, there's this like, there's no such thing as a design emergency. Like, nothing is like the end of the world. Like, you know, an email doesn't need to get replied to instantly. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we could, as a creative industry and community here, could be much more relaxed.
Because at the end of the day, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
Are we saving lives?
unless we're doing like, I don't know, airplane like manuals.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like working in healthcare or like.
Yeah. Like, but like ultimately, no, like we're not. Like we're just, we're not doing like, yeah. Like, and I think sometimes. Yeah. Someone who lives here understands that, because like I'm like, I just like don't want to be formal anymore. Like I can't even be bothered with over explaining emails and messages, and you know, it's just like, oh, just chill out.
Yeah,
like we are quite like pernicky as well. I think just always.
And I think
striving.
It's even more like in England, like when I work with English clients, it's like even more prescribed than
here. Like the smallest things are picked up on.
Yeah, we're like, having a 10-minute conversation about something so minute that
it's like,
I'm like, guys, this is a social media, like Instagram video.
Yeah, no one's going to watch it. Like, you're overthinking it and no one's going to notice this thing. Oh, no, I know, I get that as well. But, so yeah, like looking back then to Jade, who was just about to step on that plane, what would you say to her? Like, what would you like prep her for, like, so she knows?
I think I would tell her to not slow down, but just take it like slowly, that things will take a while, like don't expect everything to fall into place within a couple of months.
Yeah,
because I think it took about a year before I kind of felt like I'd found the community, like creative community. Mm-hmm. And then I think I've heard this before, that it takes 2 years to feel settled in a new country. And I think that is like 100% true. Like I hit 2 years not that long ago, like a month or two ago, and I finally feel like I'm like settled and people, I've got some friends. Like my work's going well. It's like, but it took 2 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
I think it's just being like, be kind to yourself, because it's not easy and it's not going to be what you expected. But I guess it's like embracing the unexpected and then things will like work out.
Be fine. Yeah. And then you'll be sitting on a couch talking about it.
I can't believe I'm on a podcast with you. And it's just like such a beautiful, like full circle moment, because I reached out to someone that I'd found on like Google to be like, hey, I'm a motion designer, I love your design work. Yeah. Could I work with you if you ever need one? Like, I'd love to work with you. And they're like, oh, like, I don't do that many motion projects, but here's some people you should check out. And you were listed as a podcast that I should listen to.
That's wild.
So then I went and listened to your podcast, and I think that's another advice for anyone. Just listen to all of Chloe's podcasts and you'll learn a lot about getting set up in Scotland, because that's what I did. And then I reached out to you. I think I was like listening to an episode every day, which is like part of my routine while I was sending out job apps and stuff. And then I was like, this is great, I've learned so much. And then I messaged you.
Yeah, that was, I was like, honestly, I was like, ooh. I was like, this is exciting. Yeah. And I was like, let's go for a coffee. And then we went and got coffee and then ended up doing a photo shoot.
I know.
Oh, man. I get too excited, Jade. I just want to do things. And I'm just like, oh, let's just do it now. Thank you. Because, yeah, I'm so glad we met now and that we're able to talk about this as well. Because it's just, yeah, it's a story that I can't tell because I haven't done it, obviously. So it's nice to have.
You're a big part of it.
I can absolutely help you tell that story because, it's a big thing. It's a huge thing. Moving your whole life over to the other side of the world as a freelancer as well. Like, you know, a lot of people will do it when they know they've got a job secured on the other side and they'll have, like, they're moving to go and do a job.
Oh my gosh, on that, sorry, I'll let you
go. No, you go.
I was at the Glasgow airport, like international airport, first time like coming into the country, and the immigration officer was like grilling me about why I didn't have a job. And I was like, I'm a freelancer. And he was like, why did you move here without having lined up a job? That seems very unreasonable. And I was like, excuse me, sir, I haven't had a job for like 3 years. I know, but like I was like, oh my gosh, but then every other person I've met has been so nice.
Yeah, just that, whoever that guy was, fuck you, just someone who hasn't.
He was having a bad day. Yeah,
maybe, but also, come on, man. Like, oh, bless you. I can imagine you getting off the plane all like, Doe died, and like, can't wait. And then this
guy. Traveling for like 30 hours, like, hardly any sleep. And I was just like, what? Like, it didn't really like register with me. I was just trying to get through the gate.
This guy's like, why did you move here? All right, okay. Well, fuck him. Joke's on him because you've been freelancing ever since. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we're moving on to the most important part of the podcast, Jade, which is, is a question I ask my guests every single episode, which is, what is your favourite movie? And the tastiest pie you've ever had. Now, I know you've said to me before that New Zealand is quite big on its pie, so I'm very excited for your pie answer.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your movie of choice? It could be your favourite, it could be your one you've just watched. The floor is yours.
When I was first listening to all your podcasts, I was always excited for this bit at the end. I was like, yes, get to the pies. So I'm very excited that I get to be part of this now.
Pressure.
I think for my film, I'm going to say WALL-E, which is the like animated children's film.
I've not seen that in such a long time.
I watched it so many times as a kid, and I just fell in love with his like cute little mechanical eyes and just like this beautiful love, not love story, but like friendship, like told through not many words. And I think that's just like
good animation.
I was like drawn to that as a kid, and I think like motion and animation is just like, in design as well, it's like you can say a lot without like using words or like a script, and I just love that film so much.
I need to rewatch that. I've not seen that, but I'm very long time. It's a lovely choice. Very emotional movie.
Yeah,
it's just heartwarming.
I know.
Really nice, wholesome movie. Your pie. Come on, my surprise pie. Me. I'm ready.
This is a hard one. New Zealand, so if anyone listening ever gets the chance to go to New Zealand, you have to just go to any pie shop you see. They're called bakeries.
Okay.
So like, then they'll have just a giant cabinet of a selection of pies.
Mm.
I think my favourite pie is a potato top pie. So it's got like mince and cheese on the inside.
What?
And then on top is like a bunch of potato.
What?
Like mashed potato. And then because it's been in the oven, like it gets like a little crispy, like.
Oh, the top of the mashed potato gets a bit crispy.
Oh my goodness.
Just on its own or with any sauce?
It's good on its own, but a little bit of Watties tomato sauce.
Is that exclusively from New Zealand?
Yes.
Right, okay. That's annoying.
I've got some in the fridge though.
Oh, yes! Let's do it. Ooh, because I've seen scotch pies here with mashed potato on top of them and a bit of beans.
Mm.
But mince, cheese,
and potato.
In a casing.
So it's like a pastry bottom and then like potato on top. And the pastry is quite different to the pastry here.
Mm.
It's like a lot more, it's like phyllo pastry. It's like soft and like fluffy. So it's like quite a different experience to eating pies here.
I'm salivating. I'm so literally so hungry. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And is there a New Zealand pie shop here? Does anyone, like, in Scotland?
Not in
Scotland.
Because
if there isn't, somebody needs to hurry up and do that.
I know.
If the freelancing doesn't work out, which I hope it does, but all worst comes to worst, you could open a New Zealand pie shop. And I would be your only customer.
I'm not going to lie.
I've been there every single day.
I would be eating all the stock. I wouldn't be making any money. So I went home for Christmas and I was back for a few weeks, and I think I got a pie every single day. It's like how much I'd miss New Zealand pies. But when I lived at home, I wouldn't get them that often.
Is there anything else that you would move over here that you miss?
Ooh. I think the weather.
Fair. So fair. Because like you were the North Island.
Yeah.
So better weather than the South Island, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So is that like typical, like, by the way, question, sorry, this is like nothing to do with movie and pie. How do you have summertime at Christmas?
We do, yeah, because it's
how do you function with that? Because I just can't get my head around it. Like I just can't imagine it being hot.
So it's like Father Christmas is in shorts and a t-shirt.
No joke.
I just can't get my head around that. It's wild.
I know. I think it's like such a weird one because, like, growing up, you'd see, like, watch movies and stuff, and it's like Christmas was always like set in snow and like like so beautiful. But New Zealand Christmas is like you're kind of having it's a lot of like ham, like roast ham, and then a lot of kind of like salads, like pomegranate and it, kind of like Christmassy vibes. But it's like a lot of like shared plates and like barbecue as well usually comes out.
I just can't get my head.
Yeah, a lot of like Christmas games, like croquet outside and like.
To be fair, actually, that does sound really nice. It's like here, it's like you're in the house and you can't leave.
Yeah, I think so my first Christmas, I was like, this is so weird. Like I just want to go to the beach. I usually swim on Christmas Day. Like,
oh, see that? Now that I think about it, actually, sounds way better. But no, just when you were talking about the weather, then I was like, oh yeah, these are like the opposite. So like your summer, your winter would be right now.
So my partner, who's Scottish, he spent two years in New Zealand, and he always says that he finds Christmas weird in New Zealand because it's like, why is it hot? But then he loves the New Year's because it's New Year's is like a nice celebration when it's like warm because you're outside all day and So, but then I think the lead up to Christmas here is so beautiful, like all the lights and all the Christmas decorations. Like I think that's just like unbeatable.
Magical.
The Christmas markets, oh my gosh.
Is that not a thing? Christmas market's pretty good. Get a little hot chocolate. To be fair, that's pretty decent. But no, wonderful movie and pie choices. I can't wait to go to New Zealand one day and try one of those pies. 100%. Hopefully.
Yeah.
One day. So we're working our way towards the end now, Jade. What is on the horizon for you? Like, what's not your 5-year plan, just like what's happening the next couple of months, anything exciting, any holidays, anything work-wise, what's happening?
I guess like I've had a very like hectic start to the year with like working on a lot of projects, and then I was just trying to save to pay for my next visa, which is like very expensive. So I'm just going to try and like have a nice chill summer. Like a lot of my things are wrapping up, and I think just like making the most of like being able to be outside, catching up with friends. Like I haven't been like social recently, so I'm just so excited to kind of
chill out and socialize. Have you got any little Scotland trips planned?
I've like booked some time off, but I need to like figure out like it's so weird like booking time off as a freelancer because you're just kind of like, okay, I'm gonna go here. And then you always get work like the day before you're going away. They're like, hey, so I haven't actually made a plan of where I want to go, but last year I went to Skye. I wanted to, I think, go to the other coast of Scotland.
Aberdeenshire. Oh my god, there's some places I can recommend.
Do some hikes and things.
Lovely. Got the Cairngorms. I've not been to Cairngorms like properly. I've only ever like been to Aviemore, but it's absolutely wonderful. Well, that sounds really nice.
And because most New Zealanders love birds, I really want to go see the puffins. So high up on my list.
There's loads of places that you can go see them and take pictures of them. Because for context, guys, whoever's listened to this, before we were doing the podcast, we were talking about kiwis and the bird, the little bird, and I feel like I've been fully educated on the kiwi and I want one.
They're very cute.
They're so cute. Is there any, like, here, like, in a zoo, I wonder?
Ooh, good question. I feel like no. I'm going to look that up after this. Are there any kiwis in zoos around the world?
Because, like, are they endangered? They're endangered.
They are. But the populations are growing back. New Zealand's got a very strong, conservation effort.
Kiwis, they're so cute. They're so fluffy and cute. So I can see why you want to go see the puffins because they're also cute. Really, really cute. I don't know where else you can go see them. There'll be loads of places.
I think there's like an island just out of Edinburgh, and then I know there's like one further, like off Skye. Because I was going to go last year, but then it was like a whole sea life package, and it was going to be like £500. And I was like, no.
I just want to
see the puffins.
See the puffins.
I'll row out there on my own.
Yes. To, like, we'll make it happen. You'll be seeing puppies before the end of the year. So last question I have for you, Jane. If someone is listening to this right now who is thinking about moving to Scotland as a freelancer, what other advice would you give them? So I feel like you've given lots of really, really great advice, but is there anything else that you would say to them before they make the big move?
I'm just trying to think of things I haven't really said yet. It's like, you know, get your LinkedIn up to date. Your CV as well, not always important, but I think just do as much research as you can before you come.
Yeah.
And be open to trying out new things. Like, you're moving overseas for that experience and things aren't going to be exactly as what you had in mind. And I think it's just being, like, open to those, like, new opportunities and just going along. And if it doesn't work out and it's not your vibe, well, now you know. And
try it anyway.
Just trying to go to as many like networking things, and I always think about it as like planting little seeds, and it's like whether that's a cold email outreach, a LinkedIn message to someone, or messaging someone on Instagram saying you love their work, and it's just kind of like dropping these little seeds everywhere, and some of them might grow and lead into like amazing opportunities, and other ones might not. Or you might get like a friendship out of it. It's like just putting all as many seeds out as possible and seeing like where it takes you.
Love that so much. Love that. It's great advice. I've actually just thought of one last question. Sorry. No, I'm just like, I love it. what, anyone listen to this, what would you want them to know about New Zealand? What are you most proud of?
Ooh, I think I'm most proud of New Zealand's appreciation and continued efforts in sustaining our indigenous like Māori culture. I'm part Māori myself, and a lot of countries when they were getting like colonized and going through that whole transition, a lot of like languages got wiped out, and New Zealand definitely like lost a lot of it, but there's been in the last like 40 years a huge like resurgence and like learning te reo Māori and people connecting with the culture more, and our old Prime Minister Jacinda even brought in a national holiday called Matariki to like celebrate the Māori New Year, and I think that just makes me so proud that the country is like championing the like indigenous culture, especially in the way that the world is at the moment. I think there's so much like pushback on that in other countries, and it's just like a very strong like fight in New Zealand to like keep that indigenous culture alive.
Love that. You're like, the way you speak about your home just makes me want to visit even more. So thank you so much for coming on, chatting to me about it, sharing your wonderful expertise and knowledge, and for being so honest. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so much for having me. You're this welcome. Has been so nice. Yay!
Wow, what a lovely, lovely chat that was. Thank you so much to Jade for coming on today. I love you lots, and I'm so glad the podcast has brought us together. If you want to check out Jade's work, I've linked everything in the description below. Please go have a look and give it a follow. And if you enjoyed this episode, please don't be shy. Give it some love. You can follow the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to see some exclusive content, then you can follow me on my Patreon. The link is also in the description below. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll chat with you soon.
Say hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
No, whatever.
Hi, friends. I'm Greg.
And I'm Ross.
And we run Scottish Creative Network.
We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Chatty Freelancer podcast.
We are very proud to be the sponsors of said podcast and the hosts of monthly creative events here at the Social Hub.
Join us every month to meet your creative community and join us for our signature creative chaos.
Signature? That sounds fancy.
It is what we do.
Anyway, you can grab a discount code below.
Oh wait, I was making a stupid face.